We did 18 years, I think. It's because it's weird, because the way that they calculated the series was always different. I think we did 26 or 27 series, but it was 18 years we were doing it. Yeah, yeah.
What a great fan base you must have built up from that show. What was the secret of its success?
I think that music being something that kind of just resonates with everybody, and you know, because there's so much to kind of choose from. It's so much a part of our youth as we grow up, music, and particularly the lives of the pop stars. And they're kind of sort of formed personalities, and they've got their narrative out there. And then you kind of transplant that you think about pop stars and bands and things into the fake environment of a comedy pop quiz. And I used to like what happened. It was like a big sort of chemistry lab. You're sort of experimenting with social engineering in a way. You're kind of putting a group of seven people in a room and just seeing what happens on the night. And sometimes surprising things, and sometimes it's what you're expecting, and sometimes you have bad nights and sometimes you have good nights. But, you know, over that time I did 270, 80-odd shows, so...
Gosh.
You kind of they sort of blur into one another. I find it. I always quite like it if people come up to me in the street and go, "Oh, you said something the other night," and I'm like, "You know what? That was 9 years ago."
It's crazy, isn't
and
it?
I don't watch the show.
You're just the sort of guy I'd love to sit next to at a pop quiz. Absolutely fantastic.
There was. I did one night. I always used to say to Lamar, "Is that me, him, and Sean should just turn up at a pub pop quiz night and just very quietly take a table." And just see what the people's, because the boys got proper knowledge. The thing is I'm a keen fan rather than having actual knowledge about what goes on in the world of music. And as I get older, I find that diminishing. Do you?
Yeah,
find
No, I think so.
The
I think
disconnect with what's going on.
It's life, isn't it?
And it's, I suppose it's the nature of it, but I never thought I'd be in that position. I always remember when I was a kid thinking, I'm not going to do what my dad does. None of that kind of, you know, scowling at Top of the Pops and going, "Oh, look at the state of them." Whereas we haven't even got Top of the Pops now.
So true.
It's a completely different world.
What sort of stuff were you listening to and really enjoying there when you were growing up? Do you remember listening to on the radio?
Oh, no. Well, time-wise, in terms of... I mean, I remember vividly because there was a big chunk of my life. There was about a year where we didn't have a telly in the late 60s, early 70s. I remember Granddad had a telly because I watched the moon landings. And then I moved out to the countryside with mother and father, and it was a shack, middle of nowhere. We didn't get electricity for 4 months. And I remember we had oil lamps and a battery radio. So I remember Jimmy Young and Tony Blackburn and Wogan in the late 60s. I remember listening to them on mum's wireless. I remember my old man making me listen to The Goons that used to be repeated on radio. I assume it was Radio 4, I don't know. But
it was a bit of a crossover, wasn't there? The light programme.
Yeah.
You were getting people like Jimmy Young, and it was all getting a bit poppy then.
Yeah, well, I mean, the sort of Radio 1 launched, was it 68 the Radio 1 launched? Oh,
67, wasn't it?
67, so...
Flowers in the Rain.
Flowers in the Rain by The Move, the first record. It was the week that we launched Six Music. I bumped into Tony Blackburn in the street.
Really?
And it was really odd. I'm like, I've just done what you... I just launched Six Music. I just played the first record, which was Ash. I can't even remember what record by Ash it was. It's because my memory's shot these days. And yeah, I remember saying to Tony Blackburn, "Oh, what was it like?" And he was just... You didn't see it as being as massive a thing as it was at the time. It was just another job. And yet people kind of always refer back to it, and they play that moment again and again and again when you start, you know. And I can still... The weird thing is I went to a university media course, and they were talking about radio. And one of the lecturers there used to work at Six Music, and she went, "I'd like to play something for you now." And I was in a lecture hall with all these students, and she played me the launch of Six Music, right, to all the students. And I got nervous again as I was listening to it. I remember that feeling so vividly. It was that odd sort of Proustian rush of remembering what it was like. Yeah, it was a weird feeling.
You must feel quite at home here in the radio studio.
Yeah, well, I mean, the mic stands, what I was looking at, because these are the ones that I used to have. I remember the microphone stands and this sort of desk. But I remember when I started, it was all Bakelite faders and a big telephone and buttons, and you took control.
Oh,
I remember
yes.
that quite vividly.
Yeah, quite recently we were taking control. Oh, we still are, but in a different way.
I used to like that. I had to do, it's weird, but you have to do driving lessons to learn how to operate a radio desk. And so they take you in a room with an engineer that can't believe how slow you're being. I used to remember that, you know, the guy that taught me at GLR, him being very, well, should we try that again? I remember a long-suffering bloke teaching me how to drive a radio desk.
You are still a free spirit on the radio. You are your own timekeeper. Yeah. You're your own disciplinarian.
Yeah. I mean, when I quit Six Music, it was literally I'd done everything I could, and I realised that being full-time in radio meant that I couldn't do anything else. And I think I missed doing other things. The nature of this kind of very unfocused career that I've had for 30 years is that you can do lots of stuff, but if you pick one thing, you can't do the other stuff. And so 5 years at Six Music were the 5 years I fell out of doing stand-up comedy. You know, I carried on doing the telly, but, you know, you can feel a bit of a skill you have atrophying in your brain, and you're like, no, you've got to start doing that again. Mm. And what was fun was coming back to it, was it felt like you were starting again. Mm. And so I was lucky enough I got to go to New York and do some stand-up, you know, so... And similarly, now, I mean, for the last sort of 4 years, I've been mostly doing musicals. I was in Chitty Chitty Bang Bang and the Producers with Jason Manford, and You're in Town in the West End. Brilliant musical.
Where did that title come from?
Well, I suppose the weird thing is I always remember the producers of You're in Town saying, you know, that when it closed down, they said if this musical was called something else, it wouldn't be closing down. Because they said, we can't sell that name, but, you know, there you go.
And when you were a civil servant, was all this talent, this ambition just shouting to get out?
The weird thing is no, and I don't... I think one of the things that has served me well is I'm not ambitious. I've never been ambitious. What I am is curious. And also open to new ideas. And I think that you have to keep that going. I mean, I've never planned in advance. And I just find myself in a position now where I'm loving the idea of doing this tour, because what's happened over the course of the year, you just kind of tell your agent, you go, look, I fancy doing stand-up again. Can you get me some gigs in sort of February, March time? And I'll see if I can still do it. And you have a bit of a kind of test run. You do a few little gigs and it's a bit bumpy. And then in April, you're touring Australia. And so you have to be at speed by then. And then New Zealand, and then a tour of Europe, and then a tour of Scotland, and then you do the Edinburgh Fringe, where I did, in a month at the Fringe, I did 108 shows. And you just get up to speed, and so now I'm like, you know, let the dog see the rabbit. I just can't wait